You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this Thanksgiving weekend and this first weekend of Advent. So Merry Christmas also. I want to acknowledge the reason that everything looks professional is because we had a professional. We had an amazing woman who is a member of our community. We got to hear from her during Adventure in Faith several weeks ago, and now we get to see just part of how she expresses her joy, her beauty, and her love through decorations. Will you please join me in thanking Andrea Nishihara for this amazing room? Would you stand, please? Over this last weekend, and even this morning, she came early to make sure everything was just so, just perfect. And if you just look at all of the intricate details and even the wreath hanging above the in the ark, and it just is a beautiful demonstration of your love and your gift, your expertise. So thank you, your heart. We also, during Adventure in Faith, during Advent, we have a tradition of lighting our Advent candles. This is something that was started many years ago by Dr. Marge Britt, and I love it. I think it's a really important piece of the Christmas tradition that we carry forward. Advent means to prepare for. And one of the ways that Thomas Merton talks about it is he says that Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God in God's world. So this preparation is the sacrament of the presence of God in God's world. In the mystery of Christ at work in history, the mystery can only be known by those who enter into it. We're going to be entering into the mystery today, sitting in those dark places potentially, not because of anything that's wrong. It's just that there is a mystery. There is an unknown. There's a befriending of that. And Advent is a part of that befriending of the mystery. The mystery can only be known by those who enter into it, who find their place in the mystical Christ, and therefore find the mystery of Christ realized and fulfilled in themselves. So yes, we celebrate the birth as a story, as an allegory. Whether it's historical or not, that's not really an interesting debate. What it is a representation of is that there is this Christ energy, this divine pattern of what it means to be both human and divine that we can wake up to and live from. And so these Advent candles are an outer symbol, an outer ritual of that preparation for a recognition and a activation of that Christ within us. And so today we have at the 11 o'clock service the great privilege and joy of welcoming in members of our family ministry to light our Advent candle. So I'd like to invite Logan to come forward. And Logan, how old are you?
I'm 9.
You're 9. And what's your favorite part thing about Christmas?
Well, everyone in my family being together.
I love that. That's beautiful. So do you know what candle you're lighting today?
Let's see. Peace?
In 3 weeks, today, today is about hope. So we're going to be lighting the candle for hope today. So go ahead and you're going to light this purple candle here. Yeah, you just push. I know it's kind of It's childproof, so you should be fine. There you go. Thank you. Merry Christmas. And so as we revel in this blaze of hope, let us turn within and close our eyes as we begin our service, begin this entry into the mystery during this most wonderful time of the year. In prayer and invocation and recognition of those points of light in our life that guide us in seeming darkness during times of unknowing. There is a hope. There is a prophecy. There is a truth, a reality. That there is more. That life is present, love is present, peace is present, manifestation is present. Even if it's not visible yet. So we enter into that mystery, that unknowing, that darkness, and know even in the midst of that, there is a greater truth. We befriend this unknowing and let it be. And so it is. Amen. I stand here in grace and gratitude. So it's the holidays again. Kind of, how did that happen? Yes, we jingle all the way in 70 degrees. So one of the pieces of this time is that it really is a time of, especially this weekend with Thanksgiving, of focusing on what are the blessings in our life. And especially what we did on Thanksgiving Eve on our gratitude service is really set the intention for this whole month of December, this whole holiday period, going into closing out this 2015 and going into the new year, to really fill it with our intention to see, to live in that field of blessing. To see the world from that consciousness of gratitude, of gratefulness. And from that consciousness, it really can be the most wonderful time of the year. There's this quote that I was in preparation for the gratitude service that I found that didn't quite fit there, but fits perfectly for today. And I believe it's by Dennis Waitley, who I had to look up, is a success coach. I think this is him. It says D. Waitley, so I'm assuming this is him. And he says, happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Which is really good to remember during this season, right? Happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every moment with love, grace, and gratitude. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. That's when there is this real experience of tapping into and living from a field of blessing. And one of the things that I talked about at the gratitude service was the six habits of highly grateful people. And the last two I was particularly taken with because they're definitely outside the box. And I was really sitting with those as the weekend unfolded. So the first, the fifth one that I talked about was that once in a while, highly grateful people reflect on death and loss. Seems a little counterintuitive, right? Why would you be grateful and reflect on death and loss? But what the article talked about was that it's in that reflection that there's a remembrance of the impermanence of life and the fragility of life and how every moment is a gift, not to be taken for granted. And in the face of those moments where we see tragedy, like what happened in the terrorist attacks in Lebanon and Paris, and really that happens every day, there's some act of mass violence around the world all the time. We just seem to pay more attention when it's in a Western world. But there's something that's always happening that highly grateful people can look at that and reflect and be grateful for what they do have, the moment that is here. There's some perspective. And the other one that was really, I was really holding was that they think outside the box. So things that you would not necessarily think to be grateful for. Like I talked about my dad's death. I am grateful because it made me who I am today. I'm not grateful that he died, but I am grateful for what it has meant in my life and who I am now. So we think outside the box. So this is all kind of rolling around in my consciousness as I begin to break out the Christmas decorations this weekend. And particularly yesterday, it was my first day that I was really home and had an opportunity to work on my talk and sit with my talk and do some work at home. So I was pulling out the boxes and pulling out the decorations and I was reflecting on I believe it was 2010 when my mom was first diagnosed with what turned out to be stage 4 breast cancer that had actually gone into her bones. And it was around the holidays, so it was right in the Thanksgiving into Christmas period. And for those of you who have walked through some kind of a diagnosis like that, the first round of when you first get the diagnosis is there's a lot of doctor's appointments. So there were a lot of doctor's appointments. We were at St. Jude's at least 3 or 4 times a week, and it's never quick. It's always a couple hours, and you know, my mom was not very mobile. It was a revelation because I just thought she was being lazy, and it turns out no, she was really sick. You know, a lot of those things we put out on someone else. It turns out, in reality, it was not fair to say that about her because she really was sick. So it was taking a lot of time and it was a real drain on our energy because there was a lot happening that she needed care for. And in the meantime, I think it was at that point that I just had become the senior minister, or I was in that transition into becoming the senior minister here. So it was right in that period. So I was trying to hold it all together, you know, and be the good daughter and be a good minister, a good senior minister, and prove that I was worthy of the role. And, you know, all of those things that we take on as a part of the human experience. And there's some reasons for that. You know, there's some in the world obligations that we need to hold. And the cost was Christmas. Our Christmas was here. You know, Christmas decorations were whatever was in the sanctuary because I had no capacity. Our family has always decorated for Christmas. Our family has always valued sitting down and pulling out the ornaments and pulling out these terrible figurines from whatever era they're in. They're cracked. And every year I'd go, why are we putting these out? These are terrible. And my mom would go, but they're from my childhood. And I'd go, well, that doesn't make them less terrible. But we always kept them. In fact, I still have them. I will probably put them out again this year. So there was always this kind of family bonding tradition. But that year was like not happening. And I was looking through some of my talk notes from previous years where I was championing really being present to whatever, wherever you're at and making, and really allowing for that energy. And it's absolutely true. There was a very interior energy that Christmas because it was all we could do to get through, all I could do to get through what was happening. And I wasn't about to spend several days pulling out all the Christmas stuff and then another day putting it back at the end. I just wasn't up for it. However, what I also was reflecting on yesterday, for really the first time, was this tenderness around the fact that my mom she wasn't devastated, but she was very sad that there was no Christmas at the house. And because I was the one who was going to have to do it all, it was really my choice, but the consequence was that she didn't have Christmas. And it was, you know, she brought it, would bring it up several times, and I would say, it's just not happening. And finally, we have this one little small tree that I pull, it's already pre-lit, and I put it on a stand, and I don't even put any ornaments on it, but I said, here's your tree. And, you know, so that it was something, but she was really sad at a time in her life when she really needed something cheery, something enlivening, something hopeful. I could not give that to her. And I refused to give that to her because I needed to take care of myself. There was nothing wrong with the choice that I made. And yesterday, I started to feel the regret of the choice I made. Can you feel both? We all have those moments where we really know that that was the highest and the best that we could do in the moment. Absolutely. Even if it was one of the worst decisions we've ever made. Well, mine wasn't. But, you know, those moments where we really go, what really was I thinking? I felt like I was sane of mind, and in retrospect, I wasn't. Even those moments, there, I was aware of the capacity to really tenderly, compassionately hold where I was, which was barely holding it together. And really for the first time feel the pain that my mom experienced in not having Christmas. And really facing death and literally sitting in the darkness during a time of light and joy and jovialness. It just was absent in our house that year. And I could feel both. And I was really aware of how that is a different reflection than just being fixated on what I needed to do to take care of myself. One of the ways that Pema Chodron talks about regret is that at some point you move from guilt. I never felt guilty. I felt more righteous than guilty. But at some point that gets moved into what she calls tender regret. There's a tenderness around it. There's a sadness that I couldn't do any better. And the very fact that I'm aware of it means that I probably would make a different choice now. Can you feel that? In your life, there are those moments when, especially the holidays, bring that stuff up. That there's these pasts of ways that we've shown up or things that we've done or said or didn't do or didn't say that come back like those ghosts in the Christmas Carol to visit us. And instead of letting them rule you, I invite you to embrace them like I embraced this regret around not being able to do something different from my mom. And it wasn't her last Christmas, but it was her second to last Christmas. I can't change what happened, but I can use it and reflect on it as a reminder for how I want to show up now. What does feel like an appropriate Christmas expression now? And every time I pull out a decoration, I think of my mom. Oh, this is for you. This is for you. There's a shift when we stop letting the past rule us and we can reflect on it. And that's part of the hope. Because until then, there's a level of darkness. There's a level of unconsciousness. I was erring more on the side of righteousness, but it can be in guilt, it can be in shame or fear, whatever that is, that really needs to be embraced in a different way and really seen for what it was, that compassion for this was the best I could do. And what is the gift from this that I'm being asked to live now? That's the light that shines in the darkness. That's the hope that is offered to us as a way of seeing a greater reality, a greater picture. It's the pressure that turns the coal into a diamond. I was really seeing that yesterday, that tender regret that I hold for plunging our house into darkness, or honoring the darkness, really. It was honoring the darkness, even when she wanted some light, was the best that I knew how to do. And I'm absolutely clear about that. Just as I invite you to be absolutely clear that those moments when they come in, you were doing the best you knew how to do. And the fact that it's coming in means that there's an opportunity, an offering to do it differently, to see it differently now. To honor what is now. I was reminded of that. There's several ways that this shows up on the internet, mostly oriented toward parenthood, but it holds true of seeing things differently, of holding a different consciousness. And this one in particular is more like a prayer. It says, "Dear Lord, thank you for this sink of dirty dishes. We have plenty of food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty, stinky laundry. We have plenty of nice clothes to wear. I would like to thank you for those unmade beds. They were so warm and comfortable last night. Thanks for this bathroom, complete with all the splattered mess, soggy, grimy towels, and the dirty lavatory or toilet. They are all so convenient. Thank you for this oven that I must absolutely clean today. It has baked so many things over the years." And someone shared with me after the first service, "Thank you for this income tax form, because it means that I have income." It's a different orientation. Thank you for this time of darkness, because it's bringing us closer together. It's plunging us into a new reality. How are you being asked to see differently, to hold what's arising differently in a way that is actually preparing you for this activation of the Christ, the divine pattern of you embodied? This is the hope. This is part of that befriending of the darkness that must happen, but in a way that holds it all. Holds, in my story, in my example, holds my peace of not being able to do one more thing, and holds my mom. I'm able to hold both of those now in a way that I wasn't before. And live from a new level of wholeness. So during this Christmas season, during these holidays, I invite you to really take this invitation to whatever is arising when there's a complexity of both feeling the regret and feeling the compassion. To be willing to befriend it and ask, what are you wanting me to do now? How am I being called to show up differently? And we've come to the time of receiving of our tithes and our love offerings. And as you prepare your gift, I invite you to dedicate it to this season, this time of feeling the blessings. Of embracing those opportunities. To see things differently. To open to things in a new way. In the name of hope. In the name of light at a time of darkness.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.